Who teaches a woman how to become a wife and mom? A woman named Marlene has pondered this question. She experienced loss early in life.
I lost my mother at a very young age.
She didn't have a mom to show her how to love her husband and children. She felt that loss as a young wife and mom, and then she met a very important person.
There's a young lady sitting here, Gwen. And we were neighbors, and there were other women that spoke into my life as I was becoming a mother and a wife and going through a very difficult marriage. And she modeled, and still today, her season parallels ahead of my season, and she models life. And because she models life for me, she can speak into my life because I know what she's talking about. There would be days that I would be so depressed, and the kids would be running around the house. And she was going through a challenging time herself. And she would take her walks, and she'd pop in my screen door, "Honey!" And she'd walk in my house.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, author of Adorned, for July 13th, 2018. Yesterday, Nancy looked at the value of Titus II relationships where older women teach the younger women. If you missed that program, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Today, some of the women who listened to that teaching are telling their stories. Here's Marlene telling us more about her mentor, Gwen.
She'd walk in my house, and she would just be there. Nothing fancy, nothing. We would pray. Sometimes we would talk. Sometimes we would laugh. And I don't know if you knew, but God would just send you at the right time when I would just give up. And here was that honey at the screen door. And I'm like, why did I leave my screen door open? And so I say that when you say first the modeling and then the training, because when we would do Bible studies and she would speak, I knew where her heart was. Or when she had to admonish me and when she had to, and she had to discipline me, I could listen because not only did she teach, she walked it. And life wasn't easy for her either. And so that is such a key. When you mentor people, that you have to walk the walk before you can teach it.
Mm, amen. Yeah. Gwen, who's Gwen? Are you Gwen? We got to get Gwen up here. Don't go away, Marlene. Now, Gwen, okay, one thing we've learned about mentoring is a lot of it can take place on power walks. So, and you got to be willing to take some risks. What in the world possessed you or motivated you to be so aggressive, walking in this to this woman's screen door, just into her life? What were you thinking?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we were going to the same church at that point in time. She lived right down the street from me, and my mom tells me this all the time, that nothing that God does is coincidental. And my pastor reminds me of that all the time, because from time to time I'll say, "Man, I can't believe just a fluke." And he'll look at me and say, "There are no flukes." And so my going at the right time, that was clearly God's interventions, God leading me there to her house at a point in time when she needed it the most. Interesting thing is that over the years, and there is about a good 15 years difference in our age. And so what she was going through, I'd already been there, done that. And I was willing to share that. And to encourage her, it does get better over time with prayer. And so now I find that, and Liz told me earlier, she said, get up there. Tell her about all those girls in our church. And we did Titus II last summer. We have a women's Sunday school class, and we did it as our summer thing. And all of these young women, it was like they were coming out of the woodworks. And they came to the class, and we began to study, and we began to share. And I think that they, up until that point, I think that, now these are younger women. These are the age of that one over there. And it was like they didn't really think we had anything for them. But after we went through that class, they joined the Sunday school, the women's Sunday school class. They graduated from the, what do they call them? The young, the youth. They were in, still in youth, and they were 30-something years old. And they finally decided that they were ready because they discovered, well, this is not so bad. They're not as stupid as we thought they were. Well, maybe they do have a couple of pearls of wisdom that we can benefit from. And so that was a very good thing. And so I've become very close with some of those younger women. I don't have any daughters of my own. I have a couple of daughter-in-laws. But so, yeah, it's been a great experience to be able to share.
Can you think of any older women who invested in your life who were that Titus II woman to you?
Yes. My mom and Liz's mom-in-law. Liz's mother-in-law was the older woman who was there when I first joined our church, and she just kind of took me under her wing. But she died several years ago.
So taking you under her wing,
What did that look like? She mentored me. She got me involved, and she shared pearls of wisdom with me about life and things of that nature.
Did she ever come knocking at your door?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. I don't know a lot of people that do that, actually. No, she didn't, but she was very supportive. And I was really in a, while I was an adult at that point in time, I've been a Christian since I was 10, but it wasn't until I got to Bolingbrook that I started growing. And so she was instrumental in that initial growth. And of course, my mom's been there all along, and she'll be 94 in August. So that's been a real blessing.
So she's got some spiritual grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
She has a whole community. They call her Mother Hughes, and everybody in the entire community know her. Multiple generations know her. So that's been a great role model for me.
Yeah. Amen. Anything you want to add?
And I think once, you know, much has been given as much as required. And I think that's what required. When people have spoken to your lives, you feel a burden to make sure that you speak into others' lives.
It's a stewardship, isn't it, that we've been given, and a responsibility to share that with others.
My husband and I have been in full-time ministry for 10 years now, well, almost 11. The last 9 months, I have been the wife of a senior pastor now. And I would say that without knowing how God was going to use this, that my mom, who is also my matron of honor at my wedding, I had three older brothers, so it was natural that this woman would stand next to me. But my husband and I were dating, and he told me that he felt like God was calling him to be a pastor. Actually, we hadn't started dating. I went back to my dorm room, and I said, she said, "Were you out with that Chris guy again?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, you're not going to start dating him, are you?" And I said, "No, you wouldn't believe what he told me tonight. He wants to be a pastor. And can you imagine me as a pastor's wife?" And she's like, "No." And I was like, "Me neither. I'm not going to start dating this guy." And as God would have it, we are totally in love, 13 years into marriage with 4 children. But how God had prepared me to be a pastor's wife, I didn't know. And that preparation came from a Titus II relationship that was very natural between a mother and a daughter. And the way that happened was that we had moved to a church soon after I was saved, around 10 years old, and the church was beginning. It was about 60 people, and until the Lord called my husband out of ministry at that church after 10 years, 9 months ago, I had been at that church for 25 years, and that church went through 3 pastors, and my parents were always a part of the solution. You know, you have that quote, you know, don't be a part of the problem, be a part of the solution. And there was never a question, just like divorce was never a question as they're going to be celebrating their 50th next year. Leaving a church was never even talked about. And so my parents prepared me, my mom prepared me to go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I didn't realize how important that was to prepare me to be a pastor's wife. Full-time for life, to just church was a given and the body was important. So that was one of the Titus II overflows. The other one was my husband is trying to tell me to lock my doors, and I still leave my keys in my car, and I lived in a house with a revolving door. We never knew who was going to show up or be in the extra bed, and I've never known any different. I didn't realize that that was strange. And so when my husband and I became in full-time ministry, in college ministry, we had college students living with us from the time we were married until, you know, through all of our children and newborns. And they knew the day I was going to the hospital and coming home, and they were with me. And I just never knew any different. And what precious preparation that was now to be, by God's grace, hospitality is not hard work. It's just life. And I just got that from Mom, you know, that the door was just always to be open. And so God is just so gracious to do that work in me and have that model before me now, as he has called me, though in so inadequate that I feel, to be a senior pastor's wife, but just to have that home and that mentality, and just be able to continue on, as I love to pour into younger women. But I also have the same experience as you, that I often feel like they are discipling me so much more than I have anything to offer them. So it's a privilege to be here today with two of my Titus II women. Yeah, it's just a blessing.
Two of your younger Titus II women?
No, my older. My mother and her dear friend next to her, Cindy. Cindy's right in the middle of Mom and I, and it's one of those unique relationships where the three of us are really good friends, and there's, you know, just a generational, 15-year gap between us down the road, and we are all kind of mutually iron sharpening iron with each other. So I'm so thankful to be with these women. So.
Okay, can I get mother and friend to come? Is it you two?
I'm the mother.
So tell us what it means to you today to see your daughter now as a wife and mother and living out the things that being hospitable and a pastor's wife. What does that mean to you?
It's just gift upon gift. I can hardly. I don't deserve it, but it's so precious. It's just so precious.
And you've been a part of the process. Little Miss Weepy here. Tell me you lost your name tag. Cindy. And how have you played into Beth's life? And just tell us a little bit about your role in investing in her and what that's looked like and what it's meant to you.
What it's meant to me. These are two of my... Well, there's a whole room full of dear friends here with us, but two of my dearest friends... Judy has filled a void and been my spiritual mom. First time I roomed with her once, and I didn't know her. We had to share a bed. And I'm like, at a women's retreat thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll not sleep all night. I don't know her. And we've just been dear friends ever since. She's been an encouragement to me. And then to have the privilege to have her daughter be a very dear friend also. And we have wept together over all kinds of things. Children to moving, and they've just been iron sharpening iron to me. So they've poured into my life. I don't know that I really poured into them, but such a blessing to be around Chris and Beth and see God's hand in their work. And as a younger, I was able to share with Beth this morning, her husband Chris poured into our lives and had to give a time of really rebuke to me. My husband and I went where I was really struggling with a child who wasn't walking with the Lord. And we went over to their home and just pouring out my heart. And Chris, in his gentle, kind manner, said, you know, you desire their salvation. And it's a very good thing, but you've made their salvation an idol. And I told her, I was so taken back. I didn't agree with him right at that second, but I did, because my spirit immediately agreed with him. And so, yeah, that's how they've poured into my life, of just challenging me to examine what I love and if I love my children more than I love my Christ and my Savior.
So a couple observations here about Titus 2 ministry. First of all, it comes out of relationship. There's doesn't sound like there have been formal sit-down sessions here. It's life to life. And it's not just one person life to life. It's multiple relationships that God brings together. And it's a ministry of God's grace through us to someone else. It's not giving anyone what we haven't received. It's only giving what we've received from God by His grace. And then the mutual benefit. I was saying earlier that not only do younger women need older women in their lives, but we older women need younger women in our lives. So we need each other. That's one of the principles here of Titus 2. We're not isolated. And we can't just make it with friends of our own peer group. That's great to have people in the same season of life, but we need people who are in different seasons of life to help encourage each other as pilgrims in the journey. So here are three women who are doing that, and thank you for sharing. Thank you very much.
I had to take a dental hygiene exam. I had graduated from college 32 years ago, and the state of Indiana made me retake my clinical exam back in. I had to go back to the University of Michigan. Carrie had to retake her exam also, and we happened to have a mutual, my daughter and her sister are friends. I knew that she had just graduated from school, and I said, hey, can I call your sister and talk to her? And she challenged me to send in my money and take the exam with her. So we spent the summer together preparing for this, driving back and forth to Michigan, finding patients and all this. And she came from a Christian home. She lived across the street from me for her parents did for the last 10 years. But I didn't know her. I didn't really know much about her at all. And we just had a lot of fun last summer. And it was coming to the end. I had taken my boards. I had come home from vacation, and I had to return some things she had lent me. And I had an extra copy of Seeking Him in my car, and I said, Carrie, I just did Seeking Him over the summer. I missed a lot of sessions because I was away in Michigan doing my boards. I'm going to do it this fall again. I'm going to be studying for my written part, and I won't have time to do Bible study. Do you want to do it with me? She goes, sure. I go, I just happen to have one in my car. Can I put it in your car? And so we did, and we've been getting together once a week. A lot more times on the phone and who knows what, but she has so blessed my life. I have an empty nest. My two kids are away. My son is done with college. My daughter's in college and she's away all year. And I had a real loneliness, and she has really, we just have just a great relationship. And we talk a lot. We share. We also have our, she calls me out on my sin when I'm sinning and worrying about my children, and when I'm acting too much like a mom for my adult children and with her. And I made a list of all the things. She challenges me to walk the walk in a way. I would have never thought in a million years that God could use this girl.
And Carrie, now that you're up here, how has God used this relationship in your life?
Like Sandy was saying, I did grow up in a Christian home, but there weren't really many examples day to day lived out in our home, like unfortunately many times that happens. And so I never really understood totally what it meant to walk the walk, and I didn't really have boundaries, and there's just a lot of things that I knew, but I didn't put them into action. And so you know, it's funny now because Sandy and I will talk, and I'll be convicted of my sin, and I'll be talking to Sandy about it. And if she would have pointed it out to me when we first met or early in our relationship, I would have thought she was crazy. And
she told me so many times.
Or people don't live like that, or that's not possible, or what else did I say? But mainly just how to walk the walk and what it means to have a day-to-day relationship with Christ without breaks. And
could you envision yourself ever taking a younger woman under your wing and doing the same kind of thing?
Yes, I would hope I could, as well as Sandy has. And it's weird because whenever we're in bigger groups around, among Christian women, you know, it's brought up as a mentor relationship, but I consider Sandy my best friend, so I'm like, she's not my mentor. So we're fine.
It's a very special, she's allowed me to be a better mom because of what she's poured into my life, and I can only say I've received way more. For Mother's Day, she made this for me. And it's one of our verses. We have a lot of verses that were like our verses, but this is Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. She wrote my name and in the verse. The verse is the, and she gave it to me for Mother's Day. And it's one of my cherished possessions.
Amen. Thank you both for sharing. What a blessing.
The older women are to teach the younger women. Most Revive Our Hearts listeners are familiar with that command from the book of Titus. We just heard examples of how to live those words out. Several listeners have been telling Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth what mentoring looks like for them. Nancy has often said that Revive Our Hearts is not designed to replace your local church, and this program isn't designed to replace mentors either.
That's so true, Leslie. And I believe it's critical for women to be engaged in life-to-life relationships. So as we've been looking at Titus 2 during this series on the True Woman Manifesto, I hope that you'll take another step in understanding this passage so that you can take action on what you've been hearing. And one way to do that is to get a copy of a book that I've written called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. In this book, we take an in-depth look at the instructions Paul gives to women in Titus chapter 2. And one way you can act on what you're hearing is to go through the Adorned book with another woman or with a small group of women. And I love seeing those groups with older and younger women in them. In fact, there's a group like that that's been meeting in my church for the past several months, and I'm going to have the privilege in a week or so of meeting with them as they come to the end of this study. Well, we'd like to send you a copy of the Adorned book as our way of saying thank you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any amount. You know, Revive Our Hearts can't continue discipling women in God's Word as we do day after day without support from listeners like you. And during the summer months, we typically see a significant drop in donations. So we're asking the Lord to provide listeners who will step up to help meet this need. Be sure and ask for the Adorned book when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any size. Give us a call at 1-800-569-5959 and ask for Adorned. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. You can also make your donation at reviveourhearts.com. And while you're at the website, you'll find additional resources, videos, small group discussion guide, etc., if you'd like to take a small group through this study. Again, that web address is reviveourhearts.com. Thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support of this ministry. That means more than you could possibly know.
Thanks, Nancy. Witnessing. It's a word that brings up a lot of fear and guilt in people. Nancy helps you take a fresh look at sharing your faith tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth invites you to live out the beauty of the gospel. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.